Our next speaker is Sarah Acevedo. Does that work for you?
Good morning. Thanks for coming to my presentation. My name is Sara Acevedo, and I'm a PhD student from Chile. And the topic of my presentation will be the issue of estimating field capacity and permanent wilting point using pedal transfer functions. So as Cristina, my colleague, stated before, it's very important to know the value of this two specific water content, because in order to calculate the available water for plants, and also to optimize, for example, water irrigation. So recent research has shown us that machine learning models are very has been used for a while in order to estimate properties in soil sciences. So for example, a quick search in ScienceDirect.com show us that we can find the application of these models in different topics, including pedology, soil physics, soil temperature, and also soil water content. So briefly, I am going to show you how these models are developed. So first, we have initial stage called the training one. So in that stage, you use both the output of interest, in this case this water content, and also the input, and you develop the best model for each case. And then in a second step called the testing stage, you use the optimal model for in each case, and you took some basic soil properties in order to predict this water content. However, some consideration must be taken in order to use any pedal transfer functions. So the first one is that we have some options in lab methodologies in order to get the field capacity. So as you can see in this table, for example, there are several options for pressures, for sample handling, and obviously the equipment that you are using. In contrast to permanent wilting point, in that case, it's very homogeneous the way that you, how do you measure it. And secondly, these pedal transfer functions are commonly called local specific. And that's why there are several solid forming factors, and they are also very extremely dependent on the place where these functions were developed. And that's why, well, I am showing the Jenny's equation here. And we want to know if foreign pedal transfer functions are available or not in Chile, as also Cristina stated before. So, based on this background, two main questions have been arisen. So, the first one is pretty straightforward: which is the best machine learning method for predicting these two water contents? And the main motivation are that these two values are reported in the Chilean soil survey, and also this survey had this some missing data for these values. So we'll be interested to see what happens if we can overcome the scarcity of data using this equation. And the second question is, if a cross-validation between Chilean soils from external databases and Chilean soil survey is able to be performed. And why? Because it's a trend that laboratory methods must be adhered to international standard in order to compare our values. And also, to the best of our knowledge, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, so data from here, from the States, are based on different laboratory methodologies than the Chilean Soil Survey, so we can compare each other. We want to answer our question testing four machine learning methodologies that are called artificial neural network, support vector machine, random forest, and classification aggregation trees. And also, we compare two linear approaches, the partial least squares and the generalized linear model. And these models were developed and optimized using the R and as probably you know, R is a open source programming language. About the dataset, well, as also Cristina said before, we use the CIREN. CIREN is the name of the Chilean soil survey for the development of this spectral transfer function. And then, additionally, we test them against Chilean soils from other sources. That includes the NRCS, as I stated before, and also data from a field campaign that we performed in central Chile this year. So to sum up the framework of this work, you can see the same boxes with the same stages that I stated before. So, but I would like to highlight that we build the model with the 75% of the CIREN database in the training stage, and then we test the models that we develop with three databases. So first the 55% of this, the same database, and then with the data from the NRCS and also from our own field campaign. And the basic soil properties that we use as an input for this equation were sand, silt, clay, bulk density, and organic matter, because we based this decision on previous lease studies. Let's move on into the results. We can see to the left the field capacity and the permanent wilting point good enough fitness. Comparing the root mean of the square error to the left, you can see the decrease, and also you can see the increase of the R squared to the right. So quickly, eyeballing, we can see that the support vector machine method and the random forest is the best for field capacity and permanent wilting point respectively. This slide shows the same result as before, but we are comparing each model against the linear model. And why we do that is because the linear model is the commonest way to develop a pedal transfer function. And we can see here that for field capacity, we have an improvement, so less error and more correlation with the machine learning method, and a worse performance with CARD and the partial least squares. In contrast, for permanent wilting point, we only have a straight an increase in the performance with the random forest method. And again, the best model suitable for each determination is support vector machine for field capacity and random forest for permanent wilting point. So this plot shows a comparison between the linear model and the best machine learning method for each determination. The black dots show us the linear model, and the orange ones show us the best machine learning for each determination. And it's hard to see, but we have a slight improvement in the performance. And also you can see the goodness of fit used here. But what happens if we use these models and compare with, we use them in Chilean soils, but from data from the state? So what's happening here, we have a poor performance. You can see the good of fitness here. So it's kind of disappointing at the beginning. But what happened if we took our own data and we test this method? In this case, we have that the linear model it kind of fit, but we have this constant outlier. And when we use the machine learning method instead of the linear model, we have an improvement. So this outlier disappears, and we can see how the metrics soar immediately. So we have a better performance in these cases. And what is the explanation for these constructive results? So first, I'm speculating that field transfer functions are local dependent and also lab dependent. So you can see that the models were developed with this database, and we have the testing database to the left, and we can see that the field determination is exactly the same, the methodologies, and also the same location. Also, we have the different methods for the Kellogg soil survey lab here, and Also, I would like to highlight the advantages of this machine learning. So commonly they are able to sense some high order relationships. So that's why the occurrence of outliers in this case is getting less common. So we speculate that we are removing that outlier because the advantages of this machine learning method. So based on the result, I think it's fair to say that more samples are required in order to cross-validate. We are still getting more data. And also, we can see the impact of lab methodologies on pedo transfer function in this case. And also, we tested them in comparison with the data from the UNRCS. So this is a call of caution for Chilean hydropedologists that they are using these pedo transfer functions. Also, for field capacity and permanent wilting point, machine learning methods, random forest, and support vector machine have a slightly better performance than linear models. So I think it's we have to be careful because it's better, but it's not still very significant. However, although the performance is not very important, this model have a good advantage is that these models are more suitable for a representative field campaign than the linear model in our case. So at the end, I would like to say thanks to the government funding for this research and this travel. And also, I would like to say thanks to the National Resource Conservation Service because they provide us the data and this is available online and free for us. Also to the Soil Biophysics Research Team. And any question? And thanks for listening.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Several times.
How many?
I use the cross-validation tenfold in order to get randomly split it tenfold, five times.
Mm-hmm. So essentially the performance statistics you report are averages of 10 tries.
In this case, 50 times.
Say R squared.
The R squared, yeah, 50 times.
Average of several trials.
Yes, several times.
So, as far as you know, is the Chilean soil surfing database dominated by ANSOL as compared to the Kellogg National Parks Soil Survey database, which clearly is not? And do you think that may have an impact on results, ability to predict water quality capacity because the automation of ANSOL?
Exactly, definitely. So, I don't have here the number of ANSOL, for example. So, in number, I think Siren is mainly located in the central part of Chile, so there include several andisols, but I don't think it's mainly dominated by andisols, but we have the effect of these soils definitely in the Siren database.
Mm-hmm. So with machine learning concepts, they always require a fairly large data set. Can you explain a little bit how your measurements relate to like the minimum that you need for those machine learning concepts to work?
Yeah, there are not rule of thumbs for this. So in general, the recommendation if you have more data, probably your method will be better because you are covering more options. So that's the main rule of thumb. But we cannot talk about a minimum of number of samples. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to get a lot of that.
Any other questions?
Do your hyperanthropogenic dimension learning perform in comparison to the other bit transfer functions presented by in the previous lecture? Did you make comparison between the existing models in Europe?
Yeah, I didn't. but it will be interesting. But because in this case, the approach was the same database, different models. So the Christina approach was different, different models and the same database. So I think the approach was slightly different. So that's why I cannot compare them directly. Sorry, can you repeat it? It's hard to. Yeah. So, that's a good question. So, we know that there are a lot of phenomena involving the soil water retention at this pressure. So it's not just sand, it's not just bulk density. So sadly, we don't have a lot of parameters in order to put in our models. So this is the first step, but you are right. If we are in an ideal world, if we put more parameters, probably we are going to get better performances.